A reading from the book of Hosea. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities, it consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboam? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim. For I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God."
So I don't know if any of you noticed that I'm hobbling a little bit, and I'm wearing Chaco sandals, which would not be my first choice for church service. But don't worry, I've managed to work it into my sermon, so it's all justified. Our readings today talk a lot about how God is our provider, and I think that there's a lot of reason to fear nowadays. You know, I was just looking at the news yesterday and reading about the world shortage of food upcoming, etc., and so on. And I was thinking, you know, my first thought actually instinctively was, oh, should I be, you know, storing up dry goods? And, you know, there is a way of living life responsibly, and God isn't really against that. But what our scriptures encourage us today is to not do things out of greed or not do things out of fear. There's a way of being in even times like this that our scriptures can help us with. It's a way of carrying that light and easy yoke that Jesus talks about. It's not that we're not active, it's not that we're not wise, but it's that we're cooperating with God, and so we can learn how to do that from scripture and from creation. Our first scripture talks about I want to start with the psalm. The psalm starts with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And then it goes through a bunch of scenarios. We only read about the first one. The first scenario was about Israel. And Israel, she wandered in desert wastes, it says, finding no way to an inhabited town, hungry and thirsty, fainted, and then cried to the Lord in their distress. And the Lord led them by a straight way to an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. So other scenarios are mentioned, but we didn't do the whole psalm, but there's a scenario of someone who's in prison. who cries out to the Lord. There's a scenario of someone who's tossed out in sea who cries out to the Lord. So it's not because we earn God's steadfast love that God provides for us, but it's because of God's love that God provides for us. And so we see that a little bit in our next reading. But before I get there, I want to talk about what happened to my toe, because I need to explain why I'm wearing sandals in church. And so what happened was I was on vacation. I went all the way to the Northern Sunshine Coast to Lund, and then I went from there paddleboarding to some islands called Copeland Islands. And there was this, and I was paddleboarding the next day, and there was this guy with this nice sailboat, you know, going, oh, right on, you know, watch you come in with your paddleboard. And I'm thinking I'm pretty cool and that I can pull my paddleboard up onto shore, no problem. And so I'm not paying attention, and I step down underneath some weeds. And of course, on these rocks, there's a lot of these very, very sharp things growing. And so I sliced into my foot. I'll spare you the details. And so I went and I got my first aid kit, and I, you know, did what I needed to do. And I was alone on the island at that time. But I was okay. And the next day, someone came, and it looked like he was a little tour boat. And he came really close to the island, so I stood on the edge of the rocks, and I said, do you have any duct tape? And he said he'd go back to town and come on his next tour, and he threw me some duct tape. A little bit later, someone with a family comes, and they're about to camp there. They don't actually end up camping there, but she says, oh, I have some moleskin, which is a kind of Band-Aid that actually covers your skin and keeps the water from getting in. And then she left. And then there was this couple who came to camp on the island, and they're like, oh, here's my first aid kit. You can use anything you want. And then the Coast Guard came. Do you need anything? And so I was like, okay, like, I'm fine. I'm okay. And so God, in his generosity, even though I did not deserve, out of my stupidity, all of this help, it was there. It was there and in abundance. We see in Romans 1, you know, if we watch creation, which is all I could do the next day, with my foot bandaged, I couldn't go on my paddleboard, that creation becomes to us an icon. And the indigenous cultures know this so well, that creation actually also teaches us about God and God's abundance. So the next day, I was just sitting on the rock, basically, and I was remembering the seals I had seen the day before as I was watching the waters kind of flow and ebb and ebb and flow. I was watching the tide kind of all day long in this harbor. And I was remembering how when the tide was out, there was a mama seal and a baby seal, and the baby seal was propped on this rock that had all these nice, soft, cushy seaweeds growing on it. And it was this beautiful, perfect little bed for a nap when the tide was low. And then when I was sitting in this harbor, I was watching my only companion, which was a seagull, And this cute little bird was hopping around on the rocks in low tide, looking at these little pools of water. And it was, you know, kind of gobbling up whatever was there. It's like sushi buffet, right? Because there's all these little fish that are in these little pools of water. So the tide was low, and the seagull knew it and was there at the opportune time, and God had provided for God's creatures. And then there was this other little duck. You know, the tide is coming in, and the duck is coming in with the tide, not against the tide. And so I was learning from creation about the way that God provides for God's creatures out of this abundance and generosity, in such a way that the creatures don't even have to hardly work. Why? Because they're working with the ebb and the flow. They're not working against it. God provides for us like a parent provides for a child. We see this in our Hosea reading. When Israel was a child, I loved him. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I led them with human kindness, with bonds of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and I fed them. So it's with this kind of love that God is aching for a relationship with God's children. We see this especially in the prophets, constantly calling Israel back, right? But God cries, the more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept doing this stuff that's just not good for them, sacrificing to the Baals, offering incense to idols. My people are bent on turning away from me. It's a broken parent's heart. And yet, God says, how can I give you up, Ephraim? My compassion grows warm and tender. I was preparing for our Alpha course in the fall, and now Alpha is like Christianity 101, and now they have everything online. You don't even need to work. It's just like you show everybody these videos. And in this video, they're very good, this young person was telling his story, and he was saying that, well, my parents are awesome, but what I did was I went online, and I went into their bank accounts, and I stole money from them. And they found out, and I was in my room, and I didn't want to see them, and I felt incredibly ashamed of everything that I was. I did not like myself, and a knock came at the door, and it was my dad. And to my surprise, he said, these are the words that came from my dad. I just want you to know, son, that your mom and I love you very much. And I just wish that I could come in right now and give you a big hug. So these parents of his, of course, wanted him to have everything and more. In the same way that God wants to provide for us. So there's no need for us to be greedy. And yet there's something in our condition that wants to grasp to those things that are good. I know for myself, mostly I get hung up with time. So I'm a contemplative, I like to dawdle, I like to move slowly, and when my hours of my day get smaller and smaller, I start looking at my watch, okay, I have 2 hours, okay, I have one, you know, and it's like the more I look at my watch, the quicker the time goes. Why? Because I'm grasping at a good that God has given me, breath of life, time of day. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for another day of life. What a gift. And yet I'm grasping to every minute. And as soon as I do that, it dissipates. It like falls through my fingers. I can't hold it. Ever put your watch aside for a day and notice how beautifully spacious the day can be because you're receiving moment by moment, not worrying about what you don't have, but you're enjoying what you have. And so that's the way that God wants us to be within God's creation, free, not lazy, not taking care of our little ones, not looking for when the tide is coming and when the tide is going. We need to be attentive to function in God's creation, but not striving against, not working against the ebb and flow of God's tide. And so here in this story, Jesus has this man coming to him, and he says, Rabbi, would you arbitrate between my brother and me because I want more? And that's what rabbis often did. They became arbitrators. But Jesus said, I'm not going to stand in the middle of this, but I'm going to tell you a story because I see what your problem is. Your problem is that you're grasping onto something that's actually already rightfully yours. And so I'm going to tell you about this rich man who had an abundance of harvest that year and didn't even have enough storage space on his property for these grains. So he tears down his storage containers and he builds new ones and he stores all his grain and then he says, ah, I'm all set. I'm all set for the next pandemic. I'm all set for the rest of my life. I'm all set, unlike my neighbors. I'm all set because I have taken everything and stored it up for myself with only thinking about myself. And I'm all good now for years, and I can eat, drink, and be merry, and I'm going to be just fine. And God says, you fool, because tonight your life is going to be demanded of you because I'm the one who has given you the very life and the very capacity to store these things. Why are you not trusting me? Because I know your days and your hours and your needs, and I will provide in a way where you do not have to act out of fear or act out of greed. Do not worry about your life, the passage goes on. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Aren't the lilies dressed more beautifully than we could dress ourselves, than Solomon in all of his splendor? Aren't the birds of the air cared for? How much more will the Father in heaven care for you? But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. The gospel reading says, store up for yourselves treasure, sorry, the gospel says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What is that? The way this gospel reading puts it today, it says, people who are like the rich man are not rich towards God, right? So it's encouraging us to be rich towards God. So what is this rich towards God thing? What does it mean to be living this kingdom life? Does it mean that we just, you know, pie in the sky, kind of, we don't really worry about anything? No, not at all. It's about living the kingdom life now and allowing other people an insight into that life that somehow mysteriously, despite all the reasons we may have to fear, somehow there's a peace there. Somehow we're not grasping. Somehow we're not afraid, because we've learned how to go with the ebb and the flow of God's steadfast love for us. So it's God who has given us life. God cares and provides for us as a parent for a child out of God's great love for us. God rescues us from our distress even when we don't deserve it. And we're to seek God first, and to be rich towards God, to remember that there's a way of life, a kingdom life, that God is inviting us into that doesn't work in the same way as the systems that we're so enmeshed in. It allows us, the kingdom life allows us to go with God's ebb and flow. And so it may take us to sort of slow down a little bit when we're tempted to go and store up all of these things, or when we feel that fear again, or when we feel that greed again. No, just wait a while. Hope you don't have to hurt your toe to learn to just wait a while. And watch in your life, where is the ebb and the flow of your life right now? How can you move with God's ebb and God's flow in your life right now, so that you don't have to act out of fear or greed, but so that you can live a life that is trusting in God's providence?